Hey guys, a super quick intro for this pod because it's not a solo dolo show. I'm actually joined on the mics by a voice that you'll know. It's Sam Wilcox, one of my best mates. He's been on endless shows in the past when there was the three of us, me, Harry and Sam. And he was around my house for a little bit today and the mics were in front of me and I said, listen, let's jump on the mics. We had no topic in mind. He was like, what are we going to talk about? And I was like, I don't know. But every time I have a conversation with him and we give ourselves permission and time to just catch up, I always learn something. And this conversation kind of covers his journey over the last 12 months, his decision to wind his whole business back to its simplest form. And you'll hear what that means and how he thinks about things moving forward, both personally and professionally, his ability to stay present and not let ego get in the way of his decisions. Anyway, enjoy this conversation with Sam. I know you will learn a lot, as I always do. There we go.
We're rolling.
Of course we're rolling.
Oh, lovely.
Straight into a cold open, mate. How are you?
I'm good. Always good.
You haven't been on the mics in a very long time. And we're hanging out at my house at the moment. Mm-hmm. As he slurps his coffee. And I was like, Sam, let's jump on the mics. He was like, well, I've got nothing to talk about. And I don't care.
Yeah, you're forcing me into this situation.
Jump on the mics because it's been a while since people heard from you. So I thought, this show will see the light of day. I was about to lie to you and say, if it's not interesting, I won't publish it, but it's getting published either way.
Great.
Because I always enjoy just hanging out and having a chat with you. So even if this is just a conversation on the record for me and you, that's good enough for me.
Yep. We can share it with our kids one day.
Exactly. Kids. There you go.
Your kids. share it with your kids one day.
I thought you were going to give like an announcement. What's going on in your world? Give people an update since last time you got the mics in terms of where you're at, what you're doing.
So many things, right? I mean, when would that... That would have been like a couple of years ago, wouldn't it? So,
yep.
I suppose, long story short, is last year lent heavily into a new business that was a I set up a development studio. So we were building applications, web applications, mainly for different businesses. I grew that pretty well for the first three quarters of the year. It was good growth. Grew the team, which was also an interesting experience, and it was an experience that I was ready to test, whether I was open to, rather than being a solopreneur or, you know, a glorified freelancer, I was trying to test out, like, hey, do I actually want to grow a business, manage a team, all that kind of stuff, and it was going really well, until it doesn't, right? So Q4, we just had an absolute brutal time where we lost a client, and we were kind of getting no new leads coming through. So at that point, I had to make the decision to let a bunch of the team go, move people from salary onto hourly.
Can I just interrupt? We obviously had loads of conversations throughout that whole journey, mm-hmm. right, from inception to some of the decisions you made last year.
Yeah.
What were the key inflection points for you that made you think about not just trying to brute force your way through and close more deals, to understand, is that even for you? Because where you are today, not to fast forward too much, you seem to be in a very different headspace.
Yeah.
In terms of how you think about the work that you do. Unpack that a little bit. So it felt like it was a forcing factor in terms of letting the team go or moving them to contract. How come you haven't bounced back to then go back into build the business, get the pipeline? You're in a different space now. So why?
The easy and probably not very satisfying answer is I think a lot of it was based in ego. I think I was trying to build that business because it's what I thought I should want or what I thought I wanted based off of content I consume and people that I look up to and all that kind of good stuff. And then when it came to crunch time and I had to make the decision to let people go, I had a gut feeling that I needed to do that for a long period of time, but my head and my ego sort of like battled against that for quite some time. And so we ended up just burning like five figures a month for like two, three months, which in hindsight was just kind of, we were kind of like dragging it out. But yeah, it was an ego thing, I think. I didn't want it to fail. It was because it was going so well, and publicly people were like, oh, you know, you guys are doing really well, and we were starting to get recognition in like the space that we're in the little industry that we were in online. So I was starting to like build a little bit of influence in that area, and it kind of sucked to go, or to realize, like, I've not actually succeeded here. I could brute force my way through, but for me personally, it's not worth it.
Why? What was the thing that made you realize it's not worth it? Because I think the ego thing's interesting, because you also took a view of building in public.
Mm-hmm.
Was that one of the reasons that you dragged it out for so long, because you had built it in public?
I think it's got to be part of the reason, yeah. You know, you've got like... And I wrote a post about this maybe last month, I think it was, on Twitter and LinkedIn, other places, where it's actually really hard. Sorry, let me back up a second. So it's actually, when you're building in public, so you're sharing everything that you're doing on Twitter, all the wins and all that kind of stuff, you get conditioned to just share the wins. And I personally, I think from insecurities, found it hard to share the hard times as well, because throughout that whole journey, you're trying to attract new clients, and there's always that thing in the back of your head where it's like, if I share that this is a struggle, it makes us look weak as a company.
Mm.
So it's just all a front. So you're constantly sharing the good news.
I was thinking, as you said that, I was like, oh, that's relatable for me, because I spent 450 episodes talking about the highs and the lows of the mics. But it is actually very different, because my audience was never my customers at Expert
right.
Trades in that world. I wasn't being vulnerable to my target customers. I was being vulnerable to, I guess, a community I was trying to build or be part of, like small business owners, to share with them the
yeah.
struggles. It's actually a completely different thing that you were doing. How did you, because you were really vulnerable. You truly shared some of the lows.
Like, but what? I did that after the fact.
Oh, okay.
So like after the decision had been made, right? So after the decision had been made, because I suppose just to zoom forward a little bit, at the end of the year, I decided to publicly come out and say, hey, this hasn't worked. We've had to dial stuff down. And essentially we've put new clients on pause. We still got existing clients that we're servicing, but new clients are on pause. I was heading out to Thailand for 2.5 months to get away from the horrible British winter as well. And it just kind of lined up with me sort of just, I suppose, taking a break from what was a brutal Q4. And I was like, let me just pause for a second, because I can. And let me just go away, figure things out a little bit, and then see where I'm at when I come back and go from there.
I don't want to hold you in, I guess, that thinking or pain or reflection for too long, but I actually think there's very few conversations I've had on the mics where people have been as open and authentic and vulnerable as you have been and are being now. What are the things that people, so there's loads of like small business owners that listen to this, like what's the stuff that if you could go back to Q3 or the first time you thought, is this for me?
Yeah.
Like, where's this falling over? What's the stuff that you would have advised yourself differently?
Go with your gut feeling a lot more. So I can give an example. So for me, when at the end of Q3, beginning of Q4, there was Axel, who had been with me on this journey from the very, very beginning. Great team member, really knowledgeable. We hired somebody that was his cousin. And I went to him and I said, look, I think we're going to have to let your cousin go, essentially. Love him, great guy, great energy, but essentially the business is just in a situation. This is just business, it's not anything personal. And I wanted to run it past him because he was a big part of the company and I didn't want to upset him. So I had this gut feeling of, like, I knew what needed to be done to move forward in the way that was right for me and the company. And then I went against that. I ended up going because I sensed that he would not be too happy about it. And he suggested, well, maybe we should get rid of this person first or that person. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't the right move, but I ended up going with it because I didn't want to upset. I was people pleasing, essentially.
So you've got that sort of reflection, follow your gut piece. From where you are today,
Sorry, just to take a leaf out of your book, I convinced myself that it was the right thing to continue down the path, if that makes sense. So I convinced myself, like, no, it's absolutely the right thing to do, to just brute force through it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what everybody says, you know, brute force through it. You should just go through it and just deal with the hard times, which is true, right? But I get that, you know, it's not all sunshine and rainbows. But I think at that point, I was starting to just realize that, like, hold on a minute, I'm actually spending so much of my time just managing people. I'm not actually, and I'm chasing people. And I'm essentially running a business that for me personally, I'm a little bit of a control freak. I like to know like how the work gets done, what's happening, who's doing it, when. And development's quite complex. So, you know, when you're passing those kind of tasks over to somebody to do, you have to just completely trust that that's happening. And I think I found that quite difficult. I was finding that quite difficult as well. So I was kind of like managing a lot of people. I was kind of unsure about a lot of stuff. And it was starting to dawn on me that maybe that's not actually the right move for me.
The thing that I observed, just having spent a fair few years building up this friendship with you, is you seem to have like painted yourself into a role that you kind of didn't even want.
Yeah.
And I'm just, when I say that, I know firsthand people that are listening to this that will be going, that's exactly where I am right now. Like they end up thinking from an ego perspective as well, companies need to look and feel like this. We need to hire staff. We need to do these things. And you end up like building a role that you're actually not passionate about. How did you navigate that ego piece? Because you mentioned it a couple of times and I think that lives in all of us. And sometimes, I don't always actually want to say there's a negative connotation to the word negative.
Negative. I got hung up on that then.
I could tell. That's why I addressed it. I saw that introspection going. It's like, did you just say negative? yeah, we're going to hold with that. Like negative connotation, aka negative, which is often associated with ego, but we've all got it. How did you overcome that?
What was the question again?
I got hung up on negative. Like, how did you overcome navigating your own ego to the point that you didn't just go quiet, try and build again and pick it back up? I know you had that moment in Thailand and that was obviously really interesting for you from a self-reflection perspective, but what went on during that trip to make you go, actually, I'm not going to chase that again. I'm going to be more self-aware.
First off, you know, I'm in an extremely privileged position where I've done a lot of stuff over the course of the last 10 years, I would say, online. I've always been an online person. I've always built online businesses or done online freelancing or whatever it is, consulting, whatever it is. I tried a lot of stuff. And over those 10 years, you know, I've picked up clients. And, you know, some of those clients are like really good friends now. And some of those clients I've been working with for 5-6 years. And I was in the fortunate position to be able to press that pause button and enter that reflective period. Not a lot of people have that ability, right? So I'm extremely grateful to be in a position where I could actually do that.
Especially not even just from like financials, but some people are on like a treadmill and they have like this engine running that always needs their time and attention and they never get that moment to step away from it and reflect.
So when I pulled the Band-Aid off, as the Americans would say, in regards to moving the team down to contract and essentially, you know, putting the business on pause, I was able to actually take that time to reflect and just go, hold on a minute, like, what am I doing here? This hasn't felt right. And it's not just felt right because it got hard. It just not felt right for the past sort of, I don't know, few months.
Uh-huh.
And I don't want, and I also was getting to the point where I was thinking about, like, I've been doing some form of online business for the past sort of 10-ish years. And I had to sort of think about where I was in my journey with the development agency last year and think, do I want to be pushing this boulder up a hill like for another year, another 2 years, another 5 years, 10 years, whatever it is? And the answer was no, you know. So anyway, I took those 2 months away. I was lucky enough to be able to do that. And I just started just following my own curiosity and sort of literally going back to the things that I loved when I first started getting into online business, which is mainly focused on design, web design. So one of the first things, I mean, there's many things I tried to do and failed at very, very early on in my entrepreneurial career. One of them was to build and sell WordPress websites. This would have been about 7-8 years ago. I could not sell a WordPress website for anybody for even 300 quid. And they were pretty good, man. You know, they were pretty good websites. And no, like, I couldn't even do it, you know. And, but it's interesting the journey that you go on and sort of like this, it sort of feels like a full circle nature where I've sort of went back to that love of like just building a website, designing a website.
So if anyone listening needs a £300 WordPress website, speak to Sam.
Not anymore, mate. So, So yeah, I kind of went full circle on that, and I was just essentially spent 2.5 months in Thailand just practicing that craft and just building stuff and not doing it because I needed to and not doing it because somebody was paying me to. I was literally just making up businesses and just designing a website for them in my head. And I was just, well, not in my head, I made up the business in my head, but I was designing them in Figma. So that's what I was doing for 2.5 months while I was away. And
what,
I just started
what are the
sharing
takeaways
that.
There? Like, for people that are listening that don't have that flexibility to press pause, it feels like the thing that stood out with me is following your own curiosity. And it's, people yeah. might not be able to go and say, actually, press pause, have 8 weeks, travel to Thailand, disconnect from the world. But
yeah.
on a weekly basis, it feels like people should be carving out time, especially if things aren't feeling right, to give themselves some permission. And you always use the word space. We spoke about it today. It's like giving yourself space to explore and wonder and be curious.
There's so much value in that, by the way.
And I never do it. And I'm learning to do it. You're teaching me to do
it. I'm trying to teach you. You're doing well. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
But the immense value that there is for me personally in having time and space to just think about things and think about what you're doing. You know, I've kind of been over the last 5 years, let's say, specifically, very, what's felt like on a treadmill, like I've got to do this next, I've got to do that next, I've got this task to do, I've got this client piece to do, I've got to figure out the website, I've got, you know, there's constantly stuff to do. And I'm sure everybody kind of can feel that and resonate with that. And what I realized was at the beginning of this year is like, that was just, I was not able to do any really good work that I was proud of because you're constantly on that treadmill. Yeah, when I was away and I was able to focus just on the craft at my own pace, lucky enough to be able to do that, and again, not a lot of people are, it really showed me the value in having time, space to actually do good work. And for me personally, I get an immense amount of satisfaction from that. So that's what I'm trying to lean into now. And I've just taken all the pressure off myself, which is something that I've always struggled to do. But being away and realizing like how little I actually need on a day-to-day basis to have a good life, I was able to just take all that pressure off. I don't need to build like a massive business. I thought that's what I wanted, but I don't want that anymore. You know, that's not what I'm after. I'm just after day-to-day fulfillment. And luckily, I already have that. So, you know, all of the things that I'm saying to me feel really trite because they're like things that I've heard in podcasts in the past. It's like, you know, take this, you know, whatever knowledge from this podcast and this knowledge from this article that you read. It's all the stuff that everybody's already heard. But I suppose when you live through it, you sort of make sense of that knowledge in a way that's actually like true understanding rather than knowledge.
Yeah, it's that lived experience. It's like you can hear it all the time, but you kind of put it on a shelf and you may regurgitate it, but you don't actually understand it because you've heard it somewhere and you play it out and you give that advice to someone else, but you don't really embody it and live it.
Yeah, there's a lot of timing involved, isn't there, with a lot of like knowledge that you get.
100%. I think I share with you actually like
It's good that you get that knowledge from those podcasts or whatever it is. I listen to a lot of podcasts, so I keep saying that. But because the knowledge is kind of there on the bookshelf for when you need it.
It's kind of on a hook, how I think about it. It's like there for whenever you want to take it off a hook.
Yeah.
And like there was a book that I
listened
to
recently. It's like, oh, that coat fits now.
Exactly.
I fit into this coat now.
Time you listen to it, it might not fit.
Yeah.
And I came across a book called Green Light by Matthew McConaughey, and
great book.
Wonderful book. Yeah. And it hit me at exactly the moment in time where I needed
audio
it.
Book is the best. By
yeah,
the way.
He's an absolute wonderful storyteller. Yeah. Let me ask you this question.
I'm aware that I probably rambled a bit then, and hopefully that was coherent for people listening.
Mate, it was. It doesn't matter. I'm enjoying this.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it and I'm learning. And that's why I wanted to get on the mics with you. So having known you for a fair few years now, the thing that came to my head is like, what's your downside protection here? How do you, I know, which is like a very corporate wanky way of saying it. How do you hold on to, I guess, the level of self-awareness, desire for the craft, gratitude towards what you've got compared to having a moment in time where you appreciate something and then getting caught back on the desire to step back onto the treadmill and then aka try again and rebuild, because there's a risk that you yo-yo.
It's already happened.
Talk to me about that, and
so
then how you're protecting yourself from it.
I can talk to you about it yesterday. So because I started sharing my design work and what I was been working on and stuff like that with kind of no purpose online, whereas previously last year when I was sort of like doing stuff in public, it's like, well, I'm gearing this up to like angle it towards getting a lead or whatever, you know. So it's, there's a subtle intention behind it, and mm-hmm. people can kind of tell that, I believe. Whereas this time it's like, I've just been like, oh, look, I've just done this thing, it's pretty cool. There's no intention. I'm not trying to get anything from anyone.
So why are you doing it?
Because it's fun. I enjoy it. And I want to share, and I'm learning, and I feel proud about the stuff that I'm doing. I'm like, oh, look at me. I'm cool. I did this thing. I don't need anything from you. I mean, some validation would be nice, but, you know, but you know, I'm not trying to get money out of you, or I'm not trying to like get you as a client or anything like that, whereas previously it was. So we started sharing that stuff, and it's kind of strange, but when you start doing that and you're going into it with that intention of not trying to get something from somebody, people seem to be attracted to that in a weird way. So then it does enter into that phase where like the temptation is to then start trying to get things because...
How do I be more authentic?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Or like, you know, there's opportunities that start coming in, that come towards you, and you're like, right, how do I make the most of this or whatever? So I had a client that I've been designing a application for, a mobile app in the healthcare space last month. And I mean, you know this already, but I was just doing things for the fun of it. And for me, I have a weird psychological thing where as soon as there's a price on something where someone wants to pay me to do it, I don't want to do it.
Because
in a weird way,
there's accountability.
There's accountability. Yeah, it's like a responsibility, and then it becomes less fun.
Yeah, it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa! I just want to be on the playground. Like, as soon as you offer me something to be on the playground, and I have to do something, I don't want to play on the playground anymore.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because then the playground's by your rules or whatever. I don't know, something like that.
It's adding accountability to your craft, and it. Because I've had conversations with you about this in the past as well. It takes away your ability to feel like you can wander, and it's kind of like, actually, I just need to do the thing, and I've charged this much money, which means if I don't do it in a week, I'm actually like earning less than minimum wage. So I need to get this done.
Yeah, it's all those things that like just subconsciously start weeding their way into your brain, or my brain, should I say. So, it takes the fun out of it. So, anyway, where I'm going with this story is, we did an initial project. He's like, I want to pay you more money because I want you to project manage this for us. And I'm like, look, I don't really need to do much. You know, we're handling it with a development partner.
The commercial part of me right now is crying inside, by the way, but carry on.
Always, always. I love making the commercial part of you die a little bit inside.
You
every
do it
time
more and
we,
more.
Every time we see each other.
Yeah, like during Thailand's trip and back now, I'm just like, he's just breaking my heart, most conversations. Yeah.
So he says, I want to pay you more, and you know, I want you to help with this. And I'm kind of like, I'll do it because it won't really be very hard for me. I can do that. And it's also kind of fun. Like, I get to see the design get turned into a reality. And I know about the development process, so I can handle that for you pretty easily. And then he's like, well, how much can you do that for? And then I'm like, oh, God, if I got to put a price on it now, that's really annoying. So then yesterday, I was trying to rationalize in my head, well, you know, it's going to essentially, this is a long way of answering your question, but this is what you were getting at, which is like, how do you keep in the mindset that you were rather than trying to make another go of it?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a mindset thing, and it's trying to like catch yourself. So I was finding it really hard to email him and say, it's going to cost X, because in my head, I'm trying to do the calculation of like, how much time is it going to take? I don't really know. How much effort is it going to be? You know, do I want to do it? You know, how much do I put? And then I was getting like, you know, into a tiz about it. And I was like, this is really difficult because I'm trying to think about it in my old way of thinking about it. And I was like, I'll just do it for a grand and hopefully it'll be fun. And I said, just recommend me to somebody else that is a good guy, and we'll just leave it at that. And he was like, done and done. Yeah. So as soon as I got out my own way and just went back to just treating it like fun again, which I'm very lucky to be able to do, it was easy.
But how does How does this pan out for you in the long run with this attitude? As in, is this a moment in time?
Yeah, so we're always in a moment in time. Nothing's forever, is it?
Do you not have any fears? And I'm projecting my anxiety here, by the way. I'm very aware of that. Of like leaving, and I don't always just mean commercials. I mean like opportunity on the table. Like how do you think about that?
I don't need a lot and I don't want a lot. I've realized that. So
that's an interesting thing to click into, by the way.
I'm at peace with that now.
Because these two things aren't mutually exclusive. It's like actually the mindset that you're in is enabled or at least partially driven by the fact that you don't need or want for many things. So you've actually, I guess, reduced the external requirements of other people to its simplest form, which is giving you the flexibility. But
It's a constant practice, though. Like, just to reiterate what you were saying before, it's like there's always the temptation to sort of go back to the old way of thinking.
But had you not, this is me again, my words, my projection, but had you not get 10 years down the line and go,
oh, I could have made all this if I'd done this or whatever.
Not even made, but done things differently. Or is that, how do you rationalize that? Or is that not part of your mindset right now? It's like, whatever today brings, I'll deal with it. I'm not thinking about
tomorrow. I just kind of trust that everything's going to work out all right.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a leading question because I know how you think about it, but I find it really interesting. And I think there's opposite ends.
Well, what do you think that I think about it if it's a leading question? You tell me.
Well played. I think that you're aware that you've built up enough relationships, contacts, trust, and experience that whether you consciously or subconsciously know it, that there is a safety net for you where it's you can always revert back to your toolkit if you needed to go and earn more, do more.
Yeah.
And because that's there, that gives you the self-confidence and awareness to go, I don't need to plan 3, 6, 12 months out, because if something happens in my life and circumstances change, I want to buy this, do that, move here, you can then choose if you want to dial it up and if the opportunity cost is worth it.
Right.
And that's how I think about it.
Yeah, that's pretty much exactly right, I would say. I would just add into there as well that I'm from a very pretty young age, I always wanted... Oh, this kind of circles back in a weird way for me, trying to like shy away from certain responsibility and be as free as possible, you know, and not have to deal with things. But I never wanted to. I don't like owing people money. I don't like having outgoings. So, I mean, you've always teased me for this a little bit, but you know, I'm kind of proud of it, which is like my outgoings.
It's teasing love.
Yeah, it's love. I'm not saying that I'm butthurt.
Your outgoings is my phone bill or whatever it is.
my outgoings are like extremely minimal. Yeah. And I like that because it adds to that level of like, I just don't have any stress about having to be able to afford things next month.
I think that's such an important thing for anyone to try and grasp, which is, if you think about like, especially with my moves and bits like that I'm making at the moment, like my nut every month is like large. I've got to like earn a bit to kind of service the things. And I think every time that someone buys something, does something, moves somewhere, buys it, whatever it is, it might be brilliant and give you that endorphin kick for the moment in time, but you have a liability then that is then going to force your decisions in the future.
Mm.
And I think there's...
I don't want any of that.
Yeah.
But I've actively run away from those types of things. It's fine because, you know, I'm in a different situation as well. I don't have kids and, you know, I don't have all the stuff that you've got. And, you know, that at this minute in time, that's not going to be a thing either. Mm-hmm. So.
But I even think it comes down to little things, not just about like the big life moves, but the difference between, and I'm making up numbers here, but the difference between someone choosing to have a car that's on lease for 300 quid a month compared to 800 quid a month, whatever the numbers are. Someone might go, I can afford that, but at what cost? Like you're actually increasing your, they go, oh, it's 500 quid difference, but it's not. It's 500 quid that you need to earn.
Every month,
which means you're actually, your optionality of where you work, what you do is getting constrained every time you make a buying decision. And I think that's one thing that I just wanted to click into a little bit because it plays into your optionality.
Which I don't like it when there's loads of things that stack up and they're all coming out of your bank account every month. I really don't like that. So I would say I've always just intentionally not done that, or where I can, I'd rather pay more now than Which is a weird way, because actually most times that you pay a lump sum and get something out of the way, you know, it's cheaper as well. But mm-hmm. I'd actually rather pay more to just get it out of the way now than and not have it coming out of my bank account every month.
It's not just the bank, it's the cognitive space it takes up as well. The thinking 100%. About stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Sam, I don't have as much of a free life as you. I've actually got an appointment I need to get to in about 6 minutes.
Sucks for you.
It sucks for me. So I'm going to go head off of that and give this a fairly abrupt stop, but... Mm-hmm. Next time you're down here and we jump on the mics, mm-hmm. we'd like to just spend a bit of time and do some future games with you. And I know that you're in the present and in the now, but it'd be good to hear with the context of how you've outlined your current thinking of how you even think about the future and then what's of interest to you moving forward.
Okay.
I'll leave that with you.
All right, man, tweet.
Cheers, man.